May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 212. Why does your face, ye humble soul, those mournful colours wear? What doubts are these that try your faith and nourish your despair? Hymn 212.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from two parts of the Word of God. The first is the book of Jonah, chapter 2. The book of Jonah, chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me for ever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. We will now turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, and we will read a part of chapter 11 and chapter 12. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 11, commencing to read at verse 10, and reading to the end of chapter 12. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their land upon Edom and Moab, their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day there shall say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall he say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. The Lord bless his own word and help us in prayer. Merciful and gracious Lord, as we seek to approach unto thee, we would acknowledge thee to be the great, the holy, and the just God, there who dost as thou dost please, and particularly in the habitable parts of thine earth, where thy people are found, so thou dost work thy good pleasure, to bring them to know, and to bless thee, and to know the realities of that penitence and confession, and to have to pour out their heart, their soul, unto thee, when they are there in the depths, and brought to know their own wretchedness, and have to plead for mercy. And Lord, we come this evening realizing our own sinful hearts. And oh, what a sinful heart we have. It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? That which may enter into our minds before we've even being able to consider whether the thought is a right thought. And yet it has taken possession of us, and we are quickly overcome, the adversary knowing our own weakness and the folly of our heart. Oh, we will confess, therefore, what poor creatures we are, that we may not be left to boasting, nor to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to solemnly realize that it is only of thy mercy, if we are indeed anything in thy sight. For Lord, what was Jacob above Esau, except that it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Indeed, how unsearchable is thy wisdom, and who can know it? Oh, the riches of thy grace, that it should be shown to one and thou shouldest pass by another. But will it not bring us to say, why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me? And all we know, Lord, that a part of us, which would be as Jacob, supplanter, seeking to dispossess those of the brethren. And yet, O Lord, it is our mercy when we may come and lose that which we have, only to obtain greater riches, which the world knows nothing of. And if, Lord, thou dost cut us down in our pride, and if thou dost bring us to know what it is to be poor in spirit, oh, then will that not be a blessing which far excels all that this earth can give? Indeed, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And therefore make us contented with our lot, however trying it may sometimes seem to be. And if we should look around and think that others walk at large, whilst we seem captive and shut up, and walking in darkness without light, and yet, O Lord, desiring to be found as one amongst thy people, oh, may we not be given to that spirit which would seek to murmur at thee. And yet, Lord, we know, because the Israelites murmured and we are no better, to murmur at thy dispensations. But Lord, is there not a cause? Oh, may we therefore consider, is it to bring us to value something far more than whatever we may have in this life? Though there are those precious things which we may possess in life, and Lord, thou hast given us life. Oh, what a precious gift that is. And if thou hast given us that new life, of being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, oh, what a mercy that is. Therefore, if we shall be spoiled or robbed of everything else, but have the life of God in our soul, is not that, dear Lord, to be indeed prized? And oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart to sprinkle with the blood so freely shed for me. Oh, to feel a little of it, to know the atoning power of that blood, that which can wash away a Mary or Manasseh's sins, and sins more vile than mine. O Lord, we do desire that thou wouldst sanctify to each one the crosses and trials that may have come into their life, whether it be affliction or afflictions laid upon loved ones near and dear to us, or whether it be, O Lord, that thou dost deny. Oh, may we realize, Lord, that these denials are not necessarily that thy face turned against us, but rather, O Lord, to prove that there are blessings in it. And Lord, we do also desire to thank thee where thou hast been very gracious and merciful, and we would therefore render thanks to thee for the life given, and for the sparing of the mother. Could it please thee, O Lord, to be with them, and to be strengthened through the days which lie ahead. Lord, we would desire thy mercy, therefore, upon them. And then, O Lord, we would desire to thank thee for those that have come through some serious afflictions, and yet they've been brought again into thine house. And we would thank thee, Lord, that strength has been given, and may it please thee to continue to maintain and even to increase the strength, that returning to what might be a measure of normality of life is known. O Lord, indeed, we know that often these things laid upon us, they may leave their mark. But oh, what a mercy, if the mark that has left us is a means of perpetual remembrance, to remember the way which thou, the Lord our God, hast led us. Lord, we would desire thy mercy to be upon any that are laid low and under great temptation. Oh, may they be delivered from the adversary. They may not be tempted to actual evil, but tempted with regard to what they have received of thee, to even believe that it was not of thee. Such is the tempter's influence, to doubt everything that thou hast done. But oh, do help us, Lord, to believe. Thou didst say to those disciples, "Have ye no faith?" As it is recorded in one of the Gospels, and another, "O ye of little faith." And yet, O Lord, we know that if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, yet it shall be to that end that the mountains may all flow down at thy presence. And who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. We have to prove it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Help us, Lord, to wait upon thee for the spirit of thy grace. Oh, we need, Lord, thy spirit in everything. We need him to breathe the very quickening for our soul, that we might be raised from the dust. For we have to say, with the psalmist, "My soul lies cleaving to the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word." The living word, the word of the Spirit, that which, O Lord, may come up with healing power into our souls. And then, O Lord, we do desire that thou wilt grant unto the young and rising race that concern in their own souls. We are thankful, Lord, to see the sham of those that are young in years, though they may be growing up into life, and some may think that they have got beyond the days of youth. And yet, O Lord, as we would look upon them, we see them but as young, and how they need thy preserving care and watchfulness to keep them from the many evils of this world. And when they have to do with this world, oh, how vulnerable they may be. They may go forth in what they think is their strength, but even the youths we read shall utterly fall. Oh, if they should therefore come to realize that they are at best weak in standing in the things and for the things of God, but if they had us put that good thing into their heart, even the fear of the Lord, that may be an unctuous light to what is right and a bar to that which is wrong. And it is that, O Lord, that may indeed keep them, being the beginning of wisdom. Lord, we do pray that they may find that their desires are toward thee and thy people and thine house above all that this world may call good or great. And Lord, may they not seek to frequent anything other when it is possible than the house of God, so that they may not be found in those dens of iniquity when there is a service held in thine house. Then again, O Lord, we would desire that thou would make a way for them, even to prosper them and grant them success in their studies and all that they may do, as much as is good for them. And some, Lord, thou mayest grant that success to enable them to go forward in those things, but others may be given disappointments. But oh, may they see that in all those disappointments it is thy appointment perhaps to hedge up their way, so that they were not then go into things which would not be convenient. So we do pray for our young ones. We would thank thee, Lord, where we have seen thy work appear unto them, and bless thee for it. And then, O Lord, we would remember those in increasing years, in their much affliction, do still, Lord, help them, be with them, bless them, preserve them. We do desire that thou wilt preserve them from falls which often do take place at that time of life, and broken bones and such things. Oh, that they may prove often that the angels indeed are there to watch over and to lift them up. And not only so, but thy omniscient eye, the seeing them when they may perhaps fear the most, yet realizing that thou dost still see them. And so we pray, Lord, for all thy people, and that thou knowest, Lord, each particular case. We pray for those that are absent at this time, who would have been here, but circumstances may have prevented. We commend them into thy hands, and may, if they are mindful of us here gathered, also know the blessing of the Lord, that they may not feel that they have missed out in any way. So now we commend ourselves to thee. We would remember those that have perhaps things before them that they did not expect, with many, many fears. But oh, do comfort their hearts, and may it be this, it is well. And when we consider the dear woman had left her son upon the bed, and yet she said, it is well. Oh, therefore, if we fear such afflictions, yet may it be felt, it is well. 'Tis well while life endure, writes one, and well when called to die. Now, we commend ourselves and into thine hands. Send help from the sanctuary. Be to us mouth, matter, and wisdom that speak, and the hearing ear to all that hear. May there be that oneness realized between pulpit, desk, and pew. And may we feel that as we part and go our varying ways, that it has been good for us to be here. And then do take each in peace and safety to their dwelling places. And bless us through another night of time, refreshing us for the things of the morrow. And so may we be helped day by day. We ask all these things, seeking the pardon of every sin and what we've uttered amiss. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 744. No awful sense we find of sin, the sinful life and sinful heart, no loathing of the plague within, until the Lord that feel impart. But when the Spirit of truth is come, a sinner trembles at his doom. Hymn 744.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 12, and read in verse 4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 12 and the fourth verse. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. The prophet sets before us the occasions when the Lord did his work in the bringing out of Egypt, and then that which was yet to be experienced, the deliverance and the bringing again from Assyria. The Lord brought them out of Egypt, as he may bring us out of this godless world, to know the work of his grace, and to begin that life which is now a new life, a life wherein we seek after the things of God and to be led of him. And yet in this wilderness we may find there are many times when, unless we are kept by his gracious power, how we may turn aside. And the children of Israel, they soon fell a prey to their own hearts and to looking to the things which were not of God. They may have called such things gods, and yet they were not. Their sin was gross idolatry. And so it was found at times down through the history of Israel, how very merciful and gracious God was, how long-suffering, how he often sent upon them those things which would cause them to cry again unto him. The rod of affliction, when they may know the plague within the camp. And then there were those enemies that rose up and would have destroyed them. But the Lord still preserved his remnant. And when it came to the time when through their great sin they were taken away captive into Assyria. And it was there that they would know the time to be long under that particular judgment which the law brought upon them. But we find that though the time was long, it was appointed. And this is the great mercy, that the Lord appoints these things, even our sorrows, our distresses, the times when we need much teaching, bringing down in ourselves, the humbling of our pride, to bring us to that dependence upon him, to teach us that we are nothing in ourselves, though we may have thought we were something, and ready to boast therefore of our own works, Yet those being all brought to nothing, and we there under affliction, indeed under the felt sense of the Lord's anger, yet it will not always continue. He will not always chide, for he is a God full of mercy, and his compassions they fail not. And we shall prove as Jeremiah, even though the days were so troublesome, though he felt as one that had seen affliction, though he was brought down into the depths, yet the Lord was still very merciful to him. And then we may find that we are like a Jonah sometimes, and we disobey the word of the Lord. It is not pleasing to our flesh. We want an easy way. We want a way that is reasonable to our own wisdom. But that wisdom of man is foolishness. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver of this world? When the Lord begins his work, then he shows us that we cannot put our trust in any wisdom of our own, nor in the wisdom of men, but the Lord is wise. And that wisdom he does show unto his own dear people, to see that the wisdom of God is wiser than men. Yet we shall know that in the laying on of the rod, the time of his affliction, when he will chastise us, and the chastening, it is not the hand of a tyrant, it is not the hand even of a master as shown to his servant, it is the hand of a father with his child. And therefore, if he does lay upon us the chastening rod, it is but for a time, and it is not without hope. Hope of a deliverance. Hope of being brought from under that yoke, from under that rod, and brought into a wealthy place. And so there is the day appointed. And we find that in our reading here in Isaiah, it says, and in that day, first in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people, and it shall, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. When our eyes are therefore turned unto him who is lifted up, to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own dear Son, David's greater son, the one who is bound in that covenant promise, the one who will come, who has come in the flesh, being born of a woman made under the law, that he might fulfill all righteousness, and to satisfy holy justice on behalf of his own dear people, that they might escape that rod, which will be laid upon the wicked eternally. Oh, that he who is the just one would bear the sins of the unjust. And such is the case of every one of his people. To think that there were those who were guilty in Israel, and yet they were under the teaching of the Spirit. They had that living faith. They believed God. David believed God, yet he was left to himself. He committed that adultery, and then followed by the sin of murder, in that he put, or had Uriah put in the front line of the battle, all to seek to cover his own sin. And that is what the flesh would do. But the Lord will reveal, he will expose, but not fully to his wrath, but rather mercy mingled with it. And so it was with David, that Nathan, when he propounded the parable, which was a convincing word, thou art the man, yet also with it thou shalt not die. No, the Lord would be merciful to his David, and again to his Jonah, and that he would restore him, bring him to know the reality of that salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Though both may say, thou wast angry with me, as is said in this first verse of the chapter 12, and in that day they shall say, O Lord, I will praise thee, thou hast, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. The Lord does lay upon us that realization that we cannot sin without its repercussions. We cannot sin lightly, but we shall only know the awful punishment against sin in measure. No, if he should mark iniquity, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Well, in that day, the Lord has purposed to bring us again, to revive his work, to accomplish what he has purposed, and bring us to also say, behold, God is my salvation. Will we say God is my salvation if we are not brought into those places where we've needed deliverance, where we've needed his great mercy, where we've required his long suffering, and also to know again his love? Oh, that redeeming love. Well, it is something which we shall have to experience throughout all our days, once called out of nature's darkness and brought to know the power of that work of God, redeeming love must be our theme. And so we come to know the blessings that may be known even in this day, and that we shall draw from the wells of salvation those living waters, that which will keep our soul ever alive, and that we shall not and cannot know that second death as described in the Revelation. We shall know eternal life. What a favour if we have that life there wrought in our own hearts. You may say, how shall I know that life has been worked in me? Well, it is a singular work. It is the work of God. It is the work that brings us to know the difference between death and life. You see, once we lived in a state of deadness, dead in trespasses and in sins, and we had no concern for life then. We thought we enjoyed life, the life that is here, with all its attractions and all its pleasures, until the Lord gave us the true life, eternal life. Then what a death that life that we had known became. Oh, it was like a dead weight upon us. It seemed as though, as it were, to hang about our neck, and it weighed us down. Then we were fearful that we should sink into a lost eternity, without hope, without God in the world. What a fearful thing that was. But now, how do we consider things? You may say, I still find that sin and my old nature to cast me down, to bring me into many fears, and I cannot seem to escape from it. Oh, my wretched heart. Well, we find that the apostle, he knew much of it, and had to cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Far from proving that now he would live a life where he did no sin, no, rather he had to cry out, the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do, and how to perform that which I would, I find not. And yet, found it not in himself, but he found it in his God. Where does the branch obtain its life? From the sap that comes up from the root. Where does a soul who has been grafted into the vine find its life, as it may abide in Christ and in Christ alone? And now in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Having been brought from death unto life, to know the life that comes from him, how dependent you are upon it. You know you cannot maintain it of your own self. Oh, the weakness that you now feel. You feel that you are ready to faint. And such would have been so had it not been for the Lord. But the Lord himself does raise up within you the little strength, helped with a little help, or hoping with a little help. And therefore, when you consider how he has helped you, he that has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. When the Lord first brought that help, raised up a hope in your soul, enabled you to look unto this rod of Jesse, the one who was to declare unto you righteousness, that in me is thy fruit found. Where shall we find fruits of righteousness? In this old wretched self? No. Do all you can to improve yourself. Turn over a new leaf, so to speak, as many may perhaps declare they will do. But hardly have the words gone from your mouth when you will have to say you're fallen again. You are but guilty. But he who says, in me is thy fruit found, it is there that there are the fruits of righteousness. It is that which he himself has worked for us. That grace which the apostle speaks of, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You may say that is high language. I cannot attain to it. But when he who is your life appears, then you shall find that you receive of him grace for grace. And the grace of life that he first gives will then prove that it is the beginnings of that grace that will bring the grace of God to your heart. And what grace do you need? Let us just consider the grace of the poor sinner, a feeling sensible sinner needs. Well, he needs the favour, the grace of pardon. But what may precede pardon? Repentance. What I need there is, therefore, that repentance to be worked in our heart. How is it worked? Well, it is by this chastening hand that may lay us low, but bring us to godly sorrow, to true a penitence, that we may then have to mourn and mourn over our sin. But we find in the mourning over our sin, there is yet another mourning, and that is a mourning after Christ. Just to mourn over your sin, it will leave you where it found you. But he that truly mourns over his sin, and finds that continually he has to mourn, he is a mourner in Zion.
but he mourns after Christ. He desires that revelation, those tokens for good, some evidence of the Lord's mercy, that he will not be left utterly nor forsaken, though he may sometimes feel it, but his prayer may be as the psalmist, leave not my soul destitute, but lest I be like them that go down into the pit. But in that day, and that day will be when seeing the great goodness of God to such an unworthy soul as you are, you will find praise is drawn out from your heart. Now, praise is something which is as involuntary, so to speak, as it may be when you cry out for joy over something that you can hardly believe. The those that were brought out of their captivity, when it occurred, we read in the psalm, we were like them that dreamed. And then they could say, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And that was the praise that was put into their mouth. And that praise they would find to be there when the new man of grace was in that exercise. Will it ever be without any exercise? The spring that wells up from deep in the ground, the well itself may perhaps be filled as Abraham's wells had been by those Gerites. How they had filled up the wells. Your old nature, the devil, the world, will do what they can to suppress that new life, that living water, that real grace, but it still flows forth from the belly, from the soul, and it will well up. When the heavenly Isaac may come and dig the wells, then the waters will be found and seen again afresh. It may be it may be at a time of much conflict, much striving. The old man struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace, and oft times seems to gain the field when Jesus hides his face. But when he then does appear, and appear as one who has overcome all those that may seek to strive over your soul, and to again cause those waters to spring up, those waters of life, then you may say in that day, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. And again, you may find that desire and longing to call upon him. And in so doing, a sweet access at the throne of grace, that here you again experience the God who hears and answers prayer. And many of may have been your cries, and you have been ready to give up. But now, in that day, you may find that the tune is somewhat changed. The lower notes, which you have perhaps plucked so often, now you can intersperse them with a few of the higher notes, where you may have perhaps hung your harp upon the willow in the sense of your captive state. Now you can take it down and rejoice in his name. Ah, it is his name that now you praise, because it is by that name that you know the power of his grace, the sweetness of his love, the wonders of his mercy, the blessings of his condescending goodness to your soul, that he has caused those streams to flow in the desert, and he has caused the wilderness, and you felt it to be a wilderness, to now blossom as the rose. And you can remember the things that the Lord has done. Have you sometimes tried to consider what the Lord has done, and all seems to be a blank? You cannot seem to think of one good thing. But does that mean the Lord has not accomplished his work, because you cannot bring it to mind? The Spirit will be your remembrancer. And perhaps at a time when you may hardly be thinking upon it, the Spirit brings afresh those things that the Lord has done, the great things that he has done for your soul. And it's been in his name. When the man that sat was brought to and sat at the gate beautiful, and the apostles Peter and John were to go up to the temple and pass by that gate, Peter, the man asking an alms of Peter, Peter having not anything in the way of silver and gold, yet spake unto him, such as I have give I unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise. And the man rose up, and he leapt as he went with them into the temple. And such was the amazement of the people that they questioned as to whether he was the man that had sat at the gate there. Oh, what a great thing had been done. But as Peter reiterated his ministering to those that questioned, that it is in his name, the name of Jesus Christ, that this man had thus obtained the strength to now walk, which he had previously not been able to do. And so he says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. yea, the faith which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. What a blessing it is when a little faith is given. We may speak of great faith, and it's a blessing if great faith is given. But you know, I believe we often live on what we will have to consider as little faith. But little faith may do great things. Little faith may say unto this mountain, the mountain of your trouble, the mountain of your anxiety, the mountain of your fear, be thou removed into the sea, and it shall be done. When all those things are made a plain, when the valleys are exalted and the mountains are laid low, and is this impossible? You may fear it is. Who then can be saved? But all things are possible with God. And you will prove it in that day when you shall praise the Lord and call upon his name. And what does it say? Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer thee and deliver thee. So it is a time that the Lord has said to bring us to call upon him at such a time. And those times may sometimes be in great adversity. In the book of Esther, though we do not read the name of God, yet we see the hand of God through it all. And the particular part in point is this, that Mordecai would have Esther to go in unto the king. And he said, for thou hast been brought to the kingdom at such a time as this, to go in on behalf of those Jews. But how could she go? She had not been called into unto the king for the, was it 30 days? However many days it was. But she was encouraged to venture. And taking up the words of the hymn writer, it goes something like this. And it goes from me to venture was what was necessary. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I must forever die. So you call upon his name. But you call upon his name like those of Jehoshaphat's army. When Jehoshaphat said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. And there he called upon the name of the Lord. And being told by the prophet that to stand still and to see the salvation of God, that they would not need to fight in this battle. Therefore, as they went forth, we read, they praised the Lord. Well, praise the Lord is what may now be in your mouth. Because you have that hope, that humble faith to believe that the Lord will appear, that he will work, that he will accomplish, those things that concern you? Have you perhaps feared that now all his concern has been turned from you? That can never be. Amidst the vast concerns of our God, yet he will not neglect nor forget even the least of his people. What cause then to praise the Lord if he should look upon the least, the vilest, the most unworthy? And yet, here you've been brought to call upon his name, and now, having proved the Lord's gracious mercy and deliverance, then shall we continue and say, declare his name among the people? The psalmist, when the Lord brought him out of those things and brought him into a wealthy place, then we will find out what he goes on to say. But first of all, he says, "Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." And so he says, "I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows." What can we enter into the house of the Lord? What offering shall we bring? The sacrifices of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit will be the first offering that we may bring. But then we plead his own sacrifice, the precious shed blood of our Redeemer, he who laid down his life for an unworthy sinner, now to plead that, and in so doing, to pay thy vows. Well, how does he go on? "Which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatlings, and the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue." And in that day shall he say, "Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people." The wondrous doings. He that has raised up a hope in his mercy. You look now to no other for mercy, but here you seek mercy and obtain mercy. The mercy of the Lord, that he has not dealt with you as your sins deserve. To have felt that he would have been just to have brought you to nothing, to have sent your soul to hell. But here he has raised up a hope. Here he has given you a desire. A desire to know him, and if to know him, then to be found as a follower of him. When the Lord Jesus revealed himself to those disciples, they left their nets and followed him. Dare you say he's not revealed himself to you if he has? If he has, well, only you can answer. If he has revealed himself in whatever way it may be, you've known a little of the virtue. You've touched the hem of his garment. You received that strength to believe. And perhaps you have had to say that if the Lord restores you, if the Lord brings you into brings you out and delivers you and blesses you with new life, new strength, that you will have to pay those vows and to say, among the people, to declare his doings among the people, and to make mention that his name is exalted. His name is exalted. And in what way may we prove this to be? I see my time has gone, but I must just spend a few moments upon these words. In what way is his name exalted? Well, first of all in this, that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby I, ever vile, and I have been and am, yet by which I might be saved. Ah, then his name is exalted. And that is exalted in your own heart. And that is to be exalted therefore among the people. In what other way is his name exalted? His name is exalted in that it has brought you to bow that knee. And it's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow. But now he has brought you to bow before him. And in bowing before him, he's made you willing. Willing in the day of his power. Willing to submit to all that he might have laid and will yet lay, and we know not what that is, upon us. The spirit of submission. To say, thy will be done. Then his name is exalted. Then, thirdly, how is his name exalted? Well, the spouse knew something of it when she declared this: "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for they are most sweet." No, it doesn't quite go like that. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee." How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Praise the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day evening. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Jempson is expected to preach on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 638. "With sin and guilt poor Zion toils, and labours hard for peace. But till the Lord the Saviour smiles, her conscience gets no ease." Hymn 638.
Thank you.
gracious Lord, seal home upon the hearts of those that may travail for that deliverance, the blessings of redemption, the sweetness of that sin atoning blood that can wash away a Mary or Manasseh stains and sins more vile than they. Watch over us now, take us all in peace and safety on our way. So we ask it for Christ's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us. Amen.